Have a great time. We're wrapping up our spiritual growth campaign, all right? We've been now in this study for 5 weeks of slaying those giants in our life that seek to destroy us. And I've really enjoyed this because it kind of tied a Old Testament story, the Old Testament story of David and Goliath, it tied that story to Jesus. And it wove that truth that Jesus is the answer into the story of Goliath. And so I've really used this verse 10 as kind of the foundation verse for us. And it's there in your worship folder. And it goes like this. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Those giants in our life, those Goliaths in our life, have come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us an abundant life. But Jesus came to defeat those giants. That I'm not the one that has to fight the giant. That giant has been slain, you know. As you looked at that title of the lesson, you know, the study, Goliath must fall. It's not that Goliath is going to fall. Not that Goliath may fall. But Goliath must fall. He's fallen. And what we've learned through the lesson is he's dead, but he's still deadly. We still fight, fear. We still battle those little anxieties and worry. Anybody ever get worried? Anybody ever have a little anxiety, a little stress in your life? And, you know, that giant of fear is there. Or maybe that giant of rejection we looked at, that low self-esteem, or maybe just the little feelings of insecurity and that you just can't fit in and you don't measure up. And we looked at that giant and the giant of anger, which is one I don't like talking about because giant that seems to hang around me a whole lot. And I battle that one frequently. And then last week we looked at comfort. We looked at these giants that little voice, that little voice in your head that kind of goes, you can't do it. You don't matter. You don't have what it takes. You just can't do it, and you can't fit in, and you're never going to make a difference, and might as well just hang up life and be done. You know, that voice that just hangs in there. And we need to understand that Jesus slayed that voice. That Jesus slayed that giant in our life. That giant that I can't overcome, that Jesus has. And this morning, I want to move into the last one in your outline there, and it's called addiction. Now, does anybody have an addiction? You know, I'm addiction, and you know the first thing that comes to probably some of your minds? Drugs, right? First thing, addiction, drugs, alcohol, that poor soul that's got to go to rehab, right? You know, I sat in the office the other day here at the church and sat with someone who couldn't decide what he wanted to do. You know, and he's sitting there saying, I'm high right now. You know, and it's, you know, that's our first thought when we talk about addiction. But addiction is more than those things. There's sexual addiction. There's porn. There's, anybody got a money addiction? Does anybody ever have enough? You know, can you say, you know what? I'm secure. I've got enough money. I'm done. Right? But we have these things in our life that just kind of pull us in. How about success? Accomplishments? We have all these addictions. So I gave you a definition there. Anything we can't live without. Anything we can't live. Something enslaves you. Does anyone have one of these on them this morning? Anybody got one? Some of you guys don't have your phone with you. You know what the study is? New York Times did a study, or New York polling thing did a study. 84% of people say they could not live without putting their hand on the phone at least once a day. 84. I can't go without putting a hand on my phone. The other day, I was really frustrated. I had some emergency situations going on, and I needed some assistance, so I'm calling my wife. and she didn't answer the phone. Now, if you know Laura, that's unusual, okay? Well, I called her for an hour. I called the house in case her phone slipped and she wasn't hearing it. Yeah. And it's like I left her sitting in the chair. She was tired, had a hard day. And so I thought, well, she just fell asleep. You know, maybe the phone fell somewhere. She went to Target and forgot her phone. You know, we live, we are addicted to our phones. If you text somebody and they don't respond to you within 3 or 4 minutes, what's wrong? Where they're at, you know? We have addictions, you know, and we have these things in our life that and I want us to think about those this morning. You know, how do we, you know, not just drugs and alcohol. You know, there is drugs and there's alcohol and prescription drugs and there's all those things. But then there's those little money and success and fame and those things in our life. But what I want to come back to is we're looking at our story. It comes back to Jesus. Even those addictions, I love this verse here, John 16. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. That's what I want us to think about this morning. That those things that just pull us and drive us and call us, those addictions, the internet, the telephone. Yeah, and some end up with drugs and alcohol and all that other stuff. But those things, Jesus has overcome. Those things that enslave us and that make us a... Yesterday, I went and seen my dad, and he was sleeping. You know, he's 85. He was sleeping. I didn't wake him up. So I just grabbed a Pepsi out of the refrigerator, sat down, and TV was going, and I was watching television while he slept. And they were showing clips of just news stories from sports. And it was surprising because they talked about a guy named Ryan Leaf. Anybody know Ryan Leaf? Ryan Leaf was drafted number 2 the same year that Peyton Manning was drafted number 1. It was a debate. Who's going to be number 1 draft pick? Was Peyton Manning going to be number 1? Who were the Indianapolis Colts going to take? Peyton Manning or Leif Anderson out of the state of Washington? And they're debating which one's going to be. And Peyton went first and Leaf went second. Leaf lasted 4 years in the NFL. And so they were kind of telling his story, so I went home and Googled it, and I printed it out. It's in my office now. And he's going, he was hung up on success and fame and money. He goes, that was my goal in life. That was my dream in life. Money, fame, and success. He said there were statements at Washington, University of Washington. What's the difference between God and Ryan Leaf? And it is, God knows he's not Ryan Leaf. That was what was going on at the campus. And he had all this. Lasted 4 years. NFL traded from team to team to team. And it was interesting. LA Times just did an article on him. And as he stood there and he talked about what happened as how he got sucked into drugs. He got arrested and spent time in jail. Here, $31 million. But he realized after that, he spent some time in jail, got out of jail, turned his life around. He's in a Christian organization now helping others. But he said this, the drugs was not my problem. It wasn't the drugs that was my problem. He says, my problem was fame, money, and success. See, what I want us to understand is we're going to talk this morning is you need to understand your addiction is not the problem. That's the symptom. The problem is what's behind that. What's underneath? What's driving me to be enslaved by this. I kind of step back and understand that there's something. As I watch that show, and it's like, that's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. I had not had an illustration in my head, but go on and just Google it. Look at last week, February 11th news article. Hear his story as he tells his story. Because he's sitting there and said the thing that I wanted us to hear this morning. Those battles in your life is not the battle. The battle is behind them. And we see this in the story of David and Goliath. All right? We see this as David shows up at the battlefield. That underneath this story, there's something going on. What I want us to think about this morning as we look at our lives. Because we have these addictions. Social media. I'm going to say this as I talk about this. I like Facebook. Anybody else like Facebook? I enjoy seeing my grandkids, okay? I watch some of you. I'm a voyeurist on Facebook. I don't post much, but I'm spying on you guys, okay? So if you friend me, man, you better watch where you go and what you say, all right? Because you're past watching, you know? I enjoy Facebook. I enjoy Instagram, seeing pictures of my kids, because I got kids in Washington. I got kids and grandkids in North Carolina, you know? And then I like hearing stories from you. And I enjoy it. But yet, you take your phone, and you go to Instagram, and you take you a picture. Now, you got to get the right picture, right? You know, you got to get that selfie, you know, and you get your camera all lined up, you know. You end up taking two or three, right, to get the right one? Anybody? You know, you got to get the right picture, you know. And then maybe you kind of tweak it a little bit. You know, you don't want to have your head up. You want to have your head down so you don't see my double chins. You know, so you put the camera, you know. You know what? And then you post it. And then you wait. Man, it's been 30 seconds. He said anything. Refresh. I liked yours. Why don't you like mine? Do we get addicted? I mean, how many likes? I want a video. We got to shoot a video, so we got to go viral, right? I want my video. We get addicted to these stuff. Why? Like I said, I'm at a meeting back in December, and the guy goes, the number one thing teenagers want today is fame. Years ago, I want to be a policeman. I want to be a sheriff. I want to be a firefighter. I want to be a doctor. No, I want fame. Where do you get fame? Instagram, Facebook. I get my fame. You know, I need my 15 minutes of fame. We get addicted. You know? Taco Bell, addiction. Anybody, where do you want to go for lunch? I guarantee you, you ask me any day, every day, where do you want to go for lunch? I'll go to Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. Number one place. We get these addictions in our life. But why? Why is it there? There's something underneath. Something behind it. Is there a little insecurity? Is there a little fear? Here's the story of David and Goliath. I want you to see this picture. You know the story. They're on these hills. Israel over here. The Philistines over here. You know, they're all 40 days yelling and screaming at one another. You know, Goliath coming out, challenging twice a day. You know, whoever wants to fight me, we'll just make it real quick, real simple. You defeat me, we'll be your slaves. I defeat you, you'll be our slaves. You know, just real simple. This is going on for 40 days, and David shows up bringing some food to that food supply line for his brothers, takes them to the captain, and as he shows up, he hears this battle going on, and here's what it says. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." David shows up. Here's Goliath over there yelling, "Just take me on." And David sees, and David goes to the king and says, "You know what? I'll do it. I'll accept this challenge." He's laying himself out. He's just, "Here I am. This is who I am. I will go and fight this giant. I'm here. I'm willing. I'm going to lay it all out. He's being vulnerable. You know, I'll be the one. Nobody else wanted to. I'll be the one. And then look what Saul says. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight. You are only a young man. He has been a warrior from his youth." David sits there and lays it all out. "I'll go out. I'll face the giant. All your army, nobody wants to, and you're not even going to go. I'll take the challenge. I'll step up. I'll lay it on the line." And the king says, "You can't. You're just a child. He's a warrior. You have no experience. You don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what you're doing. You're just. You may have those voices in your head that keep saying that kind of stuff to you. That you're just, you know, you can't. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go there. You got those voices that steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. That is always setting that giant there. Just, look what happens. That David said to Saul, "All right, here's your choice. You can run and hide. All right. You can throw the towel in. You're right. I can't fight it. I'm no good. I'm just a loser. My life don't matter. I can't do this. I just go home and take a drink." Right? "Go home, smoke some pot, and I'll feel better. Go home, pop some pills, and I'll be okay. Go home and search porn on the internet and enjoy. Go home and just ignore life. Or you can respond like David did." But David said to Saul, "Your servant." Now, I make sure I like that. He didn't say, "I'll be the man of the hour, the man of power. I'll take that giant on." No, he says, Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried a sheep from a flock, I went after it." I love that. He went after the lion's got a sheep in his mouth. He goes chasing the lion down. "I don't know about you. It's goodbye, sheep. Yeah. I ain't going to mess with no lion. I'm not going to mess with no bear. Enjoy your dinner." You know? But nope. I love the way it says it. He went after it. He didn't, you know, that's one less. "I went after it. Struck it and wrest sheep from its mouth." You might want to take a sheep out of a lion's mouth. Bear. "When it turned to me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it." I can just see him riding lion, you know, got him by the mane. You know, wrestling a lion. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine." I love the way. I just love this. He's do this, and then it's just this uncircumcised Philistine. You know, just. He thinks he's big and bad. Let me tell you who he is. He's nothing. Will be like one of them because he has defied me. Because he defied God. I'm not doing this in my power. I'm not doing this in my strength. I'm not doing this in my wisdom. I'm doing this in the power of God. Do you see the picture here for addiction? You hear those voices. You hear those words. "You don't matter. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough success. You don't have you have your insecurities. You can't do it. You're a failure. You have all these faults. You don't measure up. You don't fit in." And you can either turn to some addiction, or as David did, he turned to God. He says, "I can't deal with this on my own. I'm not going to fight this battle with my wisdom and my strength. I'm going to fight this battle in the might and the armor of God." Anybody see that? I want to make sure you see that you have a choice. But listen to what Saul does. I think this is really a picture of what we do. Look at what Saul does. Saul says, okay, you're going to fight him. And look what he does. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. Saul says, you can't do it. You're not going to measure up. You can't achieve that. You have no experience. You don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what you're doing. Just go back. David says, yeah, I can do it. I got some experience. Saul says, all right, let's cover you up. Let's hide all your faults. Let's hide all your shortcomings. Let's put my armor on you. He put his coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. I'm going to just cover up all my faults. I'm going to hide all my shortcomings. Just give me some prescription drugs. Just give me some of those steroids again. Those really felt good. They weaned me off of those. You know? That was really, I never had to take a medicine where you take 4 for 3 days and 3 days and 2 for 3 days and then 2 for 1 day and 1 for another day and a half. And that's what they did. We get addicted to stuff. You know? Here, put this armor on. Let's just cover up all my faults. Let's just cover up all my short. That's what Saul tried to do to him. You can't do this, so let's fake it. Anybody want to fake it? Just hide behind. I'm going to hide behind the drink. I'm going to hide behind the drugs. I'm going to hide behind my phone, my insecurities. I'm going to hide. Boy, you guys are quiet today. We get this in. David fastened on his sword over his tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. It was fun when I read that article on Ryan Leaf, and it was really interesting when he talked about the first time. He said he never took drugs in his life. Never took drugs. Only took the drugs when he was hurt and stuff, but they would give him the drugs. And he always lived by those rules. Always lived by that. And then when everything fell apart in his life, he was called the biggest bust in the NFL. When you see success and money and all that as your number one goal, and all of a sudden you're labeled the biggest bust in the NFL, he said, for the first time, I took pills to keep emotional pain and not my physical pain. I took these pills to kill my emotional pain. He talked about the path that he went down from there. He said he never knew a drug dealer. He got you know what he got arrested for? Stealing out of people's houses, stealing their drugs in their house. Somebody else's prescription drugs. He was hiding behind all stuff. He was hiding. I can't go in this, he says, David says to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. That's what I want to challenge us with this morning. That there's these addictions, there's these things that seek to control you. Like I said, I sat in the office the other day and visited with a young man who's wrestling with his marriage and he's wrestling with several things in his life. And he come in and I was talking with him. And the battle he was fighting, it was so interesting because here was his comment. I asked him, what do you really want? You know what he really wanted? He says, I got to be clean by Wednesday because I got to do a test. I said, what about your marriage? He said, I really don't know what I want there. And I'm listening to this. And I'm trying to offer him other help. It's like, get into this program or get into this or do this. And he was enslaved. Anybody been enslaved? You know, and it's just all this, you know. So we have a choice. Do we cover up or do we face it? But here's the challenge, and here's what I want to lay out for us. In order to do this, you've got to be vulnerable. You've got to be honest with yourself. Anybody like being honest with themselves? You know, I look in the mirror in the morning, and I'm honest. I am a good-looking guy. Laura lays my clothes out for me. You know what I tell Laura all the time? I tell Laura, you lay whatever you want out. I'll make anything look good. I do. Okay, you laugh, but I'm telling you the truth. I literally tell Laura that. You know, she'll get me ready. I got a school board meeting. She'll lay out clothes. I want to look nice for school board. I'll dress pretty similar to what I do here. And I'll walk out and say, don't I look good? And she goes, I laid them out for you. I said, I know, I make anything look good. Yeah. You know, I'm going to cover up, you know, and I'll convince myself, you know. And then I get up in the morning, sometimes I look in the mirror and I go, oh, I didn't want to look like my dad. Anybody want to do that one? Yeah. I didn't expect to look like my dad. Or pulled out a picture and showed it to somebody. See these people? Don't they all look alike? And it was me and my dad and my half-sister. It's like, yeah, they look alike. We like to cover up, don't we? We don't want anybody to know. Yeah. But if we're gonna get well, if we're going to deal with those addictions in our life, it's not the pills, it's not the drugs, it's not the phone. It's that feeling of insecurity that's in there. Those are only symptoms. And we need to get out there and lay it on the line. Look at what it says. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David said, I'm not covering anything up. This is who I am. I am a little teenage boy who take care of sheep. That's what I do. That's my job. But I'm here in the power of God. And that's what I want us to realize. As we deal with those things in our life that seem to enslave us, those things that you can't seem to shake, those things that you can't seem to get away from. Because I really believe, you know, again, in my experiences in life, as I've looked at life, I see people who want to stop things but can't because they're prisoners. I think God's word paints the beautiful picture that's sad. That when we let things rule in life, we become slaves. I'm going to use the word sin, okay? We become slaves to those addictions, to those things in our life, and we surrender. And we have a choice. We can either cope and move with God or cover up and hide. And we have a choice. But in order to make that choice, you got to be willing to lay yourself out there. I was sharing with somebody again that I love this church. And I want people to be like I've been having the opportunity to be here. Because from the day I came, I got to be Gary. I didn't have to be some preacher on a pedestal. Because if I got on that pedestal, you're not going to have to push me off. I would have jumped off, okay? You know, that's just me. I'm going to screw up. Anybody else to screw up? You know? You know, I'm going to mess up. But the church has always had love and grace. And they've let me be Gary. You know, and you know, I would go to meetings and I'd be the weird one there. You know, that's your pastor? I've had people say, he's your pastor? You know? And I just, you know, but we don't want to hide. I just felt so good being a pastor. But here's the fun thing. I never tell anybody I'm a pastor. You go to meetings, never tell them what you do. I'd always, you know, just be real quiet, you know. Finally they asked, what do you do? The only time I did that was when I was playing golf one time. We're playing golf up here at Jack Tone. And some guy had a mouth from the gutter. Anybody have a sailor's mouth? This guy's out there. Every other word out of his mouth was F this and da da this and da da da. And so I'm out there with a couple of guys from the church. There was two of us playing with these other two guys. And it's like, hey, I looked to Dan and go, Dan, what are we going to do at church next week? Yeah. So he could hear us, you know, and I was like, oh, what do you guys do? Oh, I'm the pastor. He's my pastor. Oh, the one guy cleaned his act up. The other guy, he didn't care. You know? What do we do? You got to be willing. I'm just going to lay it out there. This is who I am. I have weaknesses. You know what? I have a weakness. You know? Patience. Anger. Anybody? Ride me in a car. You'll see it. I find it so interesting now. I can drive to L.A. and get in traffic and sit in traffic for 45 minutes and stay calm. But I get on the road here, and we got morons on our freeways here in California. You know, and it just, anybody have battles? You know, I can stand there and say, you know, I'm your pastor, and I never get angry. Some of you are going to go, I rode with you. I know what happened. You know? See, you got to be willing to be vulnerable. God, this issue. God, this thing. I wrote it this way. If you look at your outline, there's a big old box right there around defeating your giant. It goes like this. What problem do I have that I need to mask the pain or emptiness with an addiction? I thought that was a great question. What problem are you using an addiction to mask? What are you doing? What's there? God's word is amazing to me because I started putting things together. Like I said, I love, you can take John 10:10 and weave that into the story of David and Goliath, because Jesus is that David who slayed the Goliaths. While Goliath's trying to steal your joy and kill your peace and destroy your life, Jesus steps in and slays that giant to give you an abundant life, and put that together. And then I turned all the way back to the first story in the Bible. Turn back to the creation story. And I'm reading the story of Adam and Eve. And God creates this beautiful garden, this beautiful world, flowing with milk and honey, it says, you know, and just this beautiful place. And in this beautiful place, he puts two people. He puts Adam and Eve in this perfect little world. Puts them all up in a relationship with him, walking in the beauty of all that God has. And it says this in Genesis 2:25. And Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. How many people are going to run around naked and feel no shame here? Why are you guys smirking now? Come on. You know? They're in the garden. No clothes, running around in their birthday suits. All right? Hanging around their birthday. And there's no shame. Perfect place. Perfect world. Intimate relationship with God. Enjoying all that God had for them. And they're enjoying it. No shame. Perfect life. Everything great. Everything going well. No sin. Nothing to hide. And enjoying the world. But you know the rest of the story, right? Anybody know the rest of the story? Satan pops his ugly head up, right? Satan pops his ugly head up in the midst of this ugly story. And they take of this fruit that God had said, listen, everything's yours, but not this one. I want you to choose me or not choose me. God was giving them a choice, just like he gives us the choice. Either you're with me or you're not. You know, that's the choice. And here's this opportunity. And we know their choice, right? They chose, right? They chose poorly, they sinned and rebelled. All right? So here's this perfect world now that's fallen. Now I want you to see what happens. God comes to the garden, walking through the garden, looking for Adam and Eve. Now I want to make sure you get a picture here. God is not looking for Adam and Eve, okay? He knows exactly where they're at, all right? There's no game there. You know, I kind of see the story like this. I see Adam and Eve as little kids. You meet little kids, you play hide and seek with a little kid. You go, go hide, and they'll go like this. And you go, where are you? They're standing right there, they're hiding their eyes, and they, you know, they're invisible because they hid their eyes from you. That's kind of like Adam and Eve, you know? It's like, we're going to go hide from God. Uh-huh. Yeah. If I don't see him, he can't see me, you know? And they try to hide from God. And I love the answer when God, look at what it says. Adam, he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid. I heard. I was afraid. I was in my birthday suit, so I hid. Do you see what happened? Sin causes us to cover up. Addictions cause us to cover up. We're trying to hide something. We're fearful again, and we're not where we were. I heard you, and I was afraid, so I hid. See, I want to ask you, what are you afraid of? What's causing you to hide? Whatever that addiction is, I don't know about you. I like money. And I want more. Anybody else want more besides me? Yeah. I like my car. I like my house. But I want a bigger house. Anybody want a bigger house? My kids are gone, but I need a bigger kitchen and a bigger living room. Now I'll be a holy reason. I want a bigger living room so I can have more people for Bible study. You think God would buy that? Yeah. Do we try to hide these things? And I looked at this story and it's kind of like, well, I'm not Adam and Eve, but wait. Do I try to hide? Yeah. Laura wants me to color my hair. I'm not going to hide my gray hair. The Bible is good. Now, just so you know, the Bible says the honor of a man is his gray hair. So it looks like I got a lot now. It doesn't say that about you, so I'm not going to tell you what to do, all right? But guys, you can run around with gray hair. Yeah. But we try to cover things up. Yeah. We need to kind of step back and this is who I am. And be vulnerable and let it go out there. So I just got two real quick points. Let me get these 2 points down for you real quick. We need to embrace our vulnerability. I need to step up and admit, you know what? I ain't perfect. You know what? Gary can be a jerk. Did you know Gary can be a control freak? Do you know Gary can get in front of cars and step on his brakes and brake check them? Come on, you guys act like you're so innocent out there. See, we try to hide, and we got to sit there and go, you know, God, this is who I am, man, and I'm screwed up. Don't I say something like this every week? Anybody kind of hear some words like this? God, I'm tired of doing things away. I'm willing to admit I'm messed up. I'm willing to admit I'm a sinner. I'm willing to admit I've screwed my life up. And God, I want to do it your way. See, I got to be willing to say that. The world was perfect and good when there was intimacy with God. When they walked hand in hand with God in that garden. If we want to get back to that place with God, back to that peace and that rest, we're going to be willing to say, I'm messed up. I'm not perfect. Here's my faults. And then what am I covering them up with? How do I cover them up? What am I going to hide behind? See, I hide behind this. I will not put a Christian bumper sticker on my car. I will not. Because I know sometimes it cannot be very good. And I don't want anybody to know. And that's a shame. That's why I turned the Christian radio on. That's why I wish I was more like my grandma, because every time you got in the car, you prayed. That might help. Because it's not me. Because I'm going to tell you something. Gary cannot handle his impatience. I've got it. Anybody got a control of your life? You know, I've got life. I've got life under control. Anybody? See, we're going to have to be vulnerable. We're going to have to lay it out there, and this is me, and this is where I'm at. And we're not the first. We see this with David. We see this with Daniel. We see this with Adam and Eve and their failure. We can see this in Paul, who wrote most of our New Testament. Paul had a problem. We don't know what it was. There's all sorts of ideas what his issue was. It's called a thorn in his side is what it's called. And he had this issue. The ideas is, did he have an infection in his eyes? Did he have some family history issues? There's all sorts of thoughts. We don't know what it is. But he had this, and he kept praying for God to take it away. God, take it away. God, take it away. And finally, listen to what God says. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. If you want to be able to fight those addictions, you're going to have to be vulnerable with God, because you can't do it on your own. Anybody ever raise those kids again that you play hide and seek with? You ever wrestle one of those? I can do it. You know they need help. You know they can't do it. But there, anybody got a stubborn kid? I can do it. Do we ever act like that with God? I got this, God. I got this. I want to challenge us. Do you need to be vulnerable with God today? Is there something you need to tell God today? Is there something that's been imprisoning you because you've tried to cover it up and you've tried to hide it? Yes. We need to embrace our vulnerability, and that's the way. We need to enjoy His ability. You will never get to God's ability until you deal with your vulnerability. Boy, doesn't that sounds like a good phrase. You will never get to God's ability until you deal with your vulnerability. God, I can't do this. You need to know something. I say that every Sunday morning. I love being a pastor. I love the opportunity God has given me. But I sit in this prayer room, God, I can't do this. Yeah, I worked on this all week. Matter of fact, you need to know, I'm working on sermons all the way up through the end of April right now. I'm excited about Easter, and I'm already, But the truth is, I can't do it. I've got to let God's ability. I got to let God's strength. I got to let God empower. It says this, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. So I want to ask you this morning, are you going to cover and cope and hide? Are you going to come to Jesus and let Him care for you and set you free? Will you let Him work in your life and help you accomplish what He has for you? I made it real simple. I put two scriptures right here to kind of end with. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful. He's just. But we have to be vulnerable. You ever see those 12-step programs? Anybody ever familiar with those 12 steps in that 12-step program? What's the number first thing? My name is, and I am, my name is Gary, and I am an alcoholic. That's not me, but there are some. My name's Gary, and I battle control freak, anger. Now, I give you a better, I like the way Celebrate Recovery says this. Celebrate Recovery says it this way. My name is Gary, and I'm battling anger. I'm not my anger, but I got that battle. I like the way it says that. But we got to sit there. If we confess, I've got it. What I'm telling you this morning, if you're battling something in your life that you feel you can't win anymore, you feel it's enslaved you, you're going to have to admit it. God, there's something in me that set me up for this. What is it? What is it, God? Something when I was a child? An abuse when I was a child? A decision I made? What is it? Reading that, like I said, that Ryan Lee story really inspired me as I read this. He's in LA now, and he works with this organization. And he talked about the things he does every day. He said there's like three things he does. He goes to a men's group, he does exercise, and he prays. Sounds pretty good to me. Talking to God. But here's the next one I think you need to realize. I say it this way in our church, and I've really harped on this, and I really part of our church. You need three things in your life, all right? You need God, right? Come on. That's the church. You need this church. You need a small group, some people you're fellowshipping and growing with. And you need somebody who can tell you the hard things. You need somebody that can look you in the eye and say, you're an idiot. I've got some friends like that, that can tell me, you're being a jerk, Gary. Step back and think. See, we need one another. Look at what it says. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Now, he's not saying go and tell everybody what you've done. But you need somebody who can walk through life with you, who will do this next part. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. See, you get forgiveness from God and you get healing when you're walking with somebody. You can't go through life alone. We're not created to be loners. I watched a show on Alcatraz the other day, and they were talking about the old prison and how it worked and the dungeon. And they had to quit using the dungeon because people were literally going crazy because of solitude. We need one another. It's interesting. Anybody familiar with the scripture? And there's a story of Lazarus. Jesus and Lazarus died. Anybody familiar with the story of Lazarus died? Jesus, he's out ministering and preaching and teaching, and Lazarus dies. Lazarus' sister says, go tell Jesus that his friend Lazarus is sick. Well, Jesus doesn't show up. And he dies. He's dead. They bury him, put him in a tomb, roll a stone in front of him, and he's dead. Jesus comes to the tomb. It says, roll the stone away. He speaks, and who comes alive? Lazarus came alive to die again. He's resuscitated to die again. But that's not part of the story. Listen, but there's a part that we often miss. Jesus is bringing him back from life. Jesus says, go unwrap him. You ever think about that? Go unwrap him. We need one another. See, here's the challenge. See, I could be vulnerable to God, because God's not going to tell anybody. But being vulnerable with you, I don't want you to know too much about me. I'm not going to tell you, all those. Now, most of you, I'm pretty open. Like I said, I've been blessed here. I'll tell you, I'm an idiot. You put me behind the steering wheel of a car, and it's, I can really lose it fast. It's fun when you got Christians with you. It's always fun when I was taking Martha and Francis and some of my mother-in-law and us, and we're going to the conventions for churches, and I'm driving with them in the car. You want to cuss in front of Martha? You want to lose your patience in front of, Francis? Hey, Gary, be quiet. Just be patient. See, we need those people around us. That's what I'm saying. To help walk with us. Because I can tell you one thing. One thing I knew as pastor here, guaranteed Martha was praying for me. Guaranteed Francis was praying for me. They would hold me accountable and say, you're being an idiot right now. But they would also tell me that. And I know many of you. Some of you post me and tell me you're praying for me. And I appreciate that. Because I need it. We need one another. So what I'm saying this morning is I'm challenging you. There's things that are enslaving you. Things that keep you imprisoned. Be vulnerable with God and find somebody you can be vulnerable with to walk with. Somebody who will pray with you and walk with you as you fight those battles. Okay? Does that make sense? You need to have that. Life is hard. The devil wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. But the devil kills. Jesus has abundant life. I want to ask you what life you want to live. Yesterday, sitting with my dad. My dad's never really said these words to me until I'm 63 years old. My dad woke up. We're sitting there in front of the TV. We're talking about my brothers had passed away. He's 85 now. He knows. He told me he was at the pearly gates the other night. He thought he was ready to die. Laura's up there right now. Had an emergency last night. Laura went up there to take care of my dad for me so I could be here this morning. So Laura's up there. But he said these words to me, which he's never said. I'm proud of you. That was powerful. We need to hear those words, don't we? That was the first time, 63 years old. I always knew he was because he'd go places. He'd be up at beaches up in Dillon's Park, way up north of San Francisco, and he's talking to people up there. He'd come home and tell me, I met somebody that knew you. So I know he's talking about me. Somebody from the area knew me from something doing here in the area, And so I knew he was. But to have him say that was powerful yesterday. I was always comfortable. I was always, just so you know, I had made peace. I'll probably never hear it. He's a preach, so I'd probably never hear it. See, we need to hear that, don't we? See, I want to challenge you. Who will you be vulnerable with? Are you going to cope and and hide and just hide in that addiction? Or are you going to run to Jesus? Because here's what you get when you run to Jesus. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old's passed away. Behold, the new has come. I want a new life. Anybody here want a new life? Anybody want a new beginning? A fresh start? Where do you go? You come to Jesus. You come to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you're a God who has invited us to you. You said, come. You said, come just as we are, broken and faults and failures, broken in the midst of sin. You say, come. Lord, thank you for grace and mercy and open arms. You know, as our heads are bowed, and again, I ask, please keep your eyes closed. If you want me to pray for you this morning, if you want me to lift you up to God,